Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Ken Kreitzer for Sons of America Legion Radio on Blog Talk Radio, another edition of Army Football Catch-Up. And we have the pleasure of talking to Captain Steve Anderson, who was a captain in the United States Army, was captain for 2 years in the Army football team. Steve, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Ken. I appreciate you having me on the show and look forward to talking a little Army football with you and catching up.
Absolutely. Now, you were one of the first players we really kind of got to know when we started covering Army football in the 2009 season. I think we went back a little bit to 2008. And I remember one time being in the stands at Mikey Stadium, and in the pregame warm-up, I could hear one guy in amongst the Army players that was hollering, yelling, getting everybody going, and that was number 50. That was you. You were such an enthusiastic player and a great leader of that team. Tell us what was a couple of your key memories of Army football in that era?
Oh man, I think one of the memory that sticks out the most is, you know, being named MVP of the Armed Forces Bowl and just holding that trophy up and having the first winning season since, I think it was 96, and then the first bowl game win since 1985. And, you know, that whole time, you know, we kept talking about bringing Army football back, bring winning football back to Army football. And, you know, that was kind of that bowl game meant so many things to our program and to what we were trying to establish. And I know we didn't quite, you know, just start winning after the 2010 season. We had a few lull years, but we really felt like it was our turn. It was our time to, you know, all of us came from winning programs in high school, and we just felt like it was time to win at Army, and it was something that senior class, you know, most of us started at prep school together, and we made a pact back at prep school that we were going to bring winning football back to Army. And that bowl win was such a huge moment in all of our careers. It kind of allowed us to go out on top, you know, go out as winners. A lot of the guys that never played football again, most of us, I think maybe one or two guys on that team actually played at the next level. But it was just a good kind of good for closure, good chapter closure, you know, closing of the chapter in our careers. Is definitely the one that stands out the most. And then, of course, all the special games, the Kent State game, you know, not a huge,
yeah,
you know, deal to a lot.
That was the one you needed to become bowl eligible.
Yeah, that was the one that sent us to let us know that we were going to be bowl eligible. And not too shortly after that, we found out we were going to be in the Armed Forces Bowl. So that's another huge – I remember that locker room being – insane afterwards with all the hooting and hollering. And then, you know, obviously playing at Yankee Stadium against Notre Dame, the Meadowlands at Rutgers. And then of course, no Army football player will ever forget about playing this senior year Army Navy, regardless of where it's at, but for us, it was at Philly. So those are the memories I remember specifically from that senior year, that were just an incredible experience, and I'll hold them, you know, near and dear to my heart for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, tell us, let's go back to hearing about what you're doing. Now, first, tell us about your family.
Oh, I've got a great family. Now I've got a wife, Talia, who's been together. We've been together since 2014. You know, I've got two kids. Ace, who's four, and Asher, who's two, about to be three in October, and they're just little miniatures. Me and Talia, you know, enjoy really watching TV shows together and anything that we can create memories with, whether that's hiking in the local area or going on family vacations or really our true passion right now is because our kids are so young, just having them meet their cousins and meet our friends' children and,
sure.
and developing those relationships young so they know that they always have a support system. Our kids are young. Neither of them are in school. Next year will be the, you know, the big year where Ace starts kindergarten, which is, you know, kind of freaking me out a little bit that I have a son who's starting school. But it's good. They're absolutely little mini-me's, especially my youngest son, Asher. He is a, you know, bull in a china shop, which is exactly how my mother used to describe me. So it's awesome watching them grow. I have an incredible wife, incredible support system with them, with what I'm doing in the Army. I couldn't ask for a better partner, and I couldn't ask for two better, healthy, you know, full of energy kids.
Oh, that's great to hear, and that's super. Now, tell us a little bit about your path in the Army since you graduated from West Point in 2011. I know you were down at Fort Stewart, and now you're at Fort Campbell. Tell us about some of the steps in your Army career so far.
Well, sure. I went to I'm an infantry officer, so immediately I went to Infantry Basic Officer Leadership Course, graduated from there, went to Ranger School, graduated Ranger School, went to Airborne School, graduated Airborne School, went to my first duty assignment, did a lot of training in garrison, and then deployed on the RAV mission over to Europe, where we trained in Germany, trained with Jordanians, a bunch of NATO forces there, did a combined arms exercise, a battalion-sized live fire, a brigade-sized live fire, and then came back to Fort Benning to be an eyebullet instructor. So I had the privilege of teaching, mentoring, coaching young lieutenants who just graduated from their commissioning source, whether it be OCS, ROTC, or West Point. And I got to really instill in them what I believe creates a successful Army officer. And it all starts with attitude, mentality, and physical dominance. And I got to just work with them for about 17 months. And it was absolutely a privilege. I loved it. It was like being a football coach just for infantry officers, which is, you know, a passion of mine. And then I just finished my time on staff here in the 3rd Brigade Roccasans in the 101st Airborne Division, and I just took company command of Chopping Company in 3187 Iron Roccasans on June 5th. So I'm a month into company command, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's great, Steve. Congratulations. If you would, tell us a little bit about, we hear a little bit about the schools that Army officers and soldiers go to, Ranger in particular. What was it like to get through and complete successfully the Ranger program?
Honestly, Ken, at that point in my career, I didn't know how important it was. I just thought it was, you know, the next thing I had to do in my career. You know, I think that's an important way to look at it, is not get all, you know, hyped up about, you know, kind of like an exam or anything. I've never really been an anxious guy. I've never really saw the point of getting nervous about something you have to do. You're either confident in what you're going to do or you're not. And I prepared, I focused, and I always felt that as long as I put forth 100% effort, I'm going to accomplish anything the Army throws at me or any job that I do later in my life or career. And that was just kind of my mentality. But, yeah, it was an absolutely grueling school. It's only scheduled for 62 days, but most people will tell you do the extended Ranger program, which is if you recycle a phase, you got to do it over again, which I had to do the first phase, which is called Darby phase, over again. Which was a humbling experience, kind of my first, like, failure at an Army school and first failure in my career, which was gut-checking and made me recommit myself, redetermine myself to get through this school. And I went on to never fail another patrol and went straight through from there. And I spent 90 days in Ranger school, and I lost about 48 pounds throughout it. So
wow.
it's a grueling long-term thing, but it teaches you so much about yourself. It teaches you so much about leadership and how to handle adversity and just be put in the most crappy situations and just see the light at the end of the tunnel and find the positive out of things. And that's what it really brings to soldiers and officers and NCOs that go through that program, where, you know, you can kind of always look at it and say, you know, it's just not as bad as Ranger school. And I look at that as, and one of the motivating factors through me was, I just always told myself, you know, at least I'm not actually being shot at, you know, I'm not in any real danger. And that's what motivated me, on top of, you know, wanting to, you know, do well in my career and make my family and make myself proud. You know, that was always one thing I went back to is, you know what, I woke up this morning, I'm healthy, and I'm not really getting shot at today, and I've got brothers and sisters in arms that are actually being shot at right now. So, you know, I can do this.
Well, when I hear a story like that, you know, we just have so much respect for what people in the military do, and soldiers in particular. And, you know, I saw an Army officer last week, actually he was a chaplain, and he had a Ranger tab, and I want to actually follow up with him about what it was like for him. But that's such an accomplishment. How much does your experience in football, you know, you played high school, college at a high level, how much has that helped you in your Army career?
Well, you know, we were always told at West Point, sports and football are the best tool for combat arms officers. And, you know, you don't really know what that means until you get out there and you actually become an officer, where you know what your mentors are trying to tell you. And bottom line is, if you think about football as purely like what it is, right? You've got a bunch of guys from all over the place, you know, not so much in high school, but in college, a bunch of guys from all over the place who go to work every day, who want to be physically fit and dominate their position, and are on the same path or on the same mission set or on the same goal to win at all costs and do whatever it takes for one another to make sure the team is successful. I mean, if I just describe that to you, you know, without the preface of football, you wouldn't know if I was talking about the infantry or West Point football or any football for that matter. And that's all it is you got a couple guys that are your leadership that facilitate a mentality, an attitude, a culture that is built around physical dominance, knowing your craft, and winning at all costs. And that's the mentality we grew up playing football, and it translated, you know, directly correlated to being an Army officer. And I don't know about the other branches, because I'm an infantry guy, but I can only assess that it doesn't matter, you know, what branch of service you're in. You want your guys to be physically fit. You want them to know their job, and you want them to be team-oriented. And, I mean, football set me up for success to kind of hit those three things and be able to develop a team around one common goal. And that's really, in a nutshell, what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, we hear a similar set of comments when we're talk to the Navy players before the Army-Navy game. A lot of the Navy players, guys you played against, the branch Marine Corps.
Yeah, I'm nothing like Navy players, man. Don't be putting that juju on me.
I know. But your brother's in arms now. You're on the, you know. Hey, tell us about your new job, being a company commander. What does it involve? What are the responsibilities in running an Army company?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a light infantry company commander, so I'm responsible for, you know, 132 personnel and about $9 million worth of equipment, and it's my job to ensure this organization is prepared to go to war and prepared to fight and win our nation's wars every day and make sure that we are physically dominant, our equipment is good to go, the guys in position know what they have to do and maybe just instinctively know what they got to do when they've never experienced a situation before, and just be ready to come to work every day and have fun. I mean, we get tied into this idea that you know the Army is serious, the Army is so disciplined, but it absolutely is. But at the end of the day, you got to love what you do, and I fully believe that if you don't love what you do, you cannot reach your max potential. You can't reach that next level of expertise if you don't really enjoy what you do. So I try to, while we're all in this serious culture, you know, of the Army, and we're going to go to war and we're going to, you know, defeat our nation's enemies, bottom line is we got to have fun preparing for that. And sure, it's scary. Sure, it's a little intimidating. But at the end of the day, you got to love what you do. And I try to bring that enthusiasm, that same enthusiasm you talked about, seeing me on the field at the 50-yard line and at the goal line, bringing the guys around. But that same mentality and that same enthusiasm I'm bringing every day to work and make sure my guys know I'm coming to work today and I'm coming to have fun.
Well, that's such a great way to hear about how you approach leadership and managing your company. You know, going back to your playing days, I have two photos of you in my office. One is going out to the coin toss at the Army-Navy game, and you're with Josh McNary, and you have a special guest, and that is Paul Bucca, who went out with you to with the four Army captains to the coin toss, and he had his Medal of Honor ribbon on that day in Philadelphia, I think that was. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you had heard a talk from Paul Bucca before that game.
Yeah, interesting story is Paul Buddy Bucca earned that Medal of Honor in the unit I'm in right now. So he was an
really?
He was an Iron Rock assigned, and he was an Iron Rock assigned in 3187. I believe he was Delta Company, not Chopping Company. But he earned that Medal of Honor in the unit I serve in now. And he's obviously a legend around the Rockassons and the Iron Rockassons and 3187 Infantry. Before that game, he had kind of explained to us the situation he was put in that battle and went through his, you know, thought process and everything that it took. And he wasn't doing it for the Medal of Honor. He was simply doing it because it was his job and because the men on his left and right meant so much to him. And he ended up taking off that Medal of Honor and threw it right to me right then and there. And I caught it in basically shock and awe that this hero, this man that emulates everything everyone should want to be in an Army officer and as a person, took off his Medal of Honor, threw it to me, and told me to use it as motivation for the Army-Navy game. And I'm sitting there holding it, and he told me to hold on to it and give it back to me once the mission is accomplished. And during the Army-Navy game, you know, I brought it out. It was in my locker. I brought it out. I used it. I mean, we played well. We didn't get the results we wanted. And I had asked him to hold on to it. The mission is not complete. We have a bowl game to win. And I'd like to hold on to it until, you know, we finish out this mission and win the bowl game and bring winning football back to Army football. And he allowed me to hold on to it. We used it for the bowl game. And we ended up finally accomplishing the mission against SMU in December that year. And I had I had talked to him for a little bit afterwards, and I had asked him if that Medal of Honor could stay with that bowl game trophy in the Kimsey Center, because that's where it belongs. It was every bit of just motivation and inspiration, and we used it during the game, and it helped us finish that fourth quarter and come out with the victory. And I fully believe that he was with us and a part of us, and his mentality and his story motivated us and inspired us to finally finish the mission and kind of close that chapter. And it was just an awesome story. And I've talked to him a little bit since being back at the Rockesons, but since I'm now officially an Iron Rockesons, I absolutely look forward to reaching out to him and get him at some of these speaking engagements and kind of tell our story about when we first met and how, you know, a bond was made that day, and how, you know, is just an incredible man and someone to look up to, you know, regardless of, you know, you're an Army officer, soldier, NCO, football player, kid growing up. I mean, he's an absolute role model to have.
Absolutely. I met him at an event here in the White Plains area 3-4 years ago, and I gave him a copy of the picture of you and your three other captains, Josh McNair. I think, is that Pat Mealy? And
it is Pat.
And who was then who was the fourth captain? He was, I think, the long snapper on the team.
Yeah, Carson Hommie.
Carson, yeah. And you're looking at Paul Buca, and the picture actually has the Corps of Cadets behind you. We're going to put that up on this page. You know, you played, you were a captain for 2 years, and the junior year was a very interesting Army football season under Rich Ellerson. Victor Eugenie was a captain, and then Alejandro Villanueva. And Alejandro, I actually got a chance to visit with him 2 years ago out at the Steelers campus, really had a tremendous opportunity in the NFL. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to play with him in college and that special season where they gave him a very unique role on the team.
Yeah, I mean, the coach said, hey, I want to try you at wide receiver. And Ali was like, okay, roger that. And Ali and me are still very good friends to this day. We talk on, you know, biweekly, monthly basis, just catch up. You know, it's a funny story is I was actually trying out for the NFL in 2014 when Ali was stationed at Hunter Army Airfield, which is right down the street from Fort Stewart, and he was in 175, the Army Rangers. And he was talking about getting that going grad school, and I told him he needs to come try out. You know, he needs to give this one more shot, and he was really against it, really didn't think he was good enough, and just kind of second-guessing it. And I was like, look, man, like, I'm working out for the NFL Combine. You can come work out with me. Like, the scouts are going to look at you and see that, man, that we can mold this guy into a tackle, a defensive tackle, a tight end, a receiver. I mean, he's done it all in college. And he ended up listening to me, going out and dominating the NFL. And Ali is such a special human being as well, where, you know, the guy is an academic scholar. He's a physical beast, you know. It's whatever you tell him to do, he's going to mold his body. You know, when he was in the Rangers, he was about 260, 270, you know, running lightning-fast two-mile runs. And now he's a left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers at 330 pounds. So, I mean, he is an absolute physically gifted man. He's an even better person and a great friend. You know, he's got a beautiful family, wife and three kids, or I think one kid's on the way. And he's just, you know, it was awesome. I mean, I couldn't have asked for, you know, those two are very quiet, you know, just nature of their personalities. They're quiet, reserved. And they kind of led me, you know, and they told me as a junior, I was going to be the speaking captain. I was going to do the interviews. I was going to, you know, hype the team up. You know, that kind of fit my personality. And they kind of did behind the scenes, and we talked, you know, culture and where we wanted to go with the team. And, you know, they really understood that, hey, man, like, we're leaving after this year. Like, you're going to be a captain again this next year. We want to do some things with this team. But more importantly, like, we need to talk about this program. They saw the bigger picture of, like, setting conditions for the program to be successful, not just that team that year. And they really allowed me to do a lot of the things I thought was best for the program. And, of course, they agree with them, and there are some things we disagreed with. But for the most part, those guys allowed me and to do what I thought was best for the team and going forward. And, I mean, both of them, I mean, I'm more in touch with Ali than I am with Vic, but, you know, the best thing about Army football is it's like your friends are like riding a bike. Like, I haven't ridden a bike in quite a while, but I still know how to ride one. And those guys, I could not see them or talk to them for years, but you put us in a room, it's just like we were back playing football. And you know, at these weddings, you know, all the guys are getting married, having kids. There's social events. There's you know, Army football get-togethers. And every time we go, it's like being around a bunch of my brothers. And it's a really special bond that, you know, I'm not sure you could match it at any other school.
No, it's very special. We see that, and it's great to hear. We love to hear how the players are, their Army careers are developing, or they're moving on to civilian careers and their families. It's great to hear. We just have a couple of minutes with Steve Anderson, two-time Army captain and MVP of the 2010 Army win in the Armed Forces Bowl over SMU. We got to ask you, what's your thoughts, Steve, about the success of Army football last 3 years under Jeff Munkin? Three winning seasons, three bowl game wins, and the Commander-in-Chief trophy coming back to West Point the last 2 years. What has it been like to watch that?
It's honestly everything I wish I could have done while I played there, but it's incredible, man. Like I talked to, you know, I've got Ahmad Bradshaw, who's going to be coming to the Rockasans here shortly. He'll be in my unit.
Good.
I've got, I think Bryce Holland is going to be coming to the Rockasans, possibly in my unit.
What a great guy he is.
And it's just awesome to see, you know, these young guys, you know, dominate on the football field and bring that domination mentality that is what we need in the Army across the board. It's just a mentality that, you know, no matter what it costs, you know, as long as it follows ethical, moral, and legal codes, we need to win. And we need to win now. And those guys are just a bunch of great guys. I've talked to them, and I've learned more about Bradshaw and Bryce over the past, you know, couple months just talking to them and them wanting to be a part of the Rockasan organization. And just super excited to have those guys here. And it means a lot. It means a lot of, with the people that are serving. It means a lot to previous players, and it means a lot to just overall the Army mentality. And it's just an incredible thing to see that Army football winning is – no, everybody wins with Army football winning.
Well, Steve, it's great to talk with you. Great to be able to go over the very early days for us covering Army football, and then the success the teams have. But most importantly, what you're doing to serve the country and to lead soldiers is so important. We got a break in about 50 seconds, but I just want to thank you for your time and the chances to reconnect.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. I appreciate any time. As long as the schedule allows it, and most importantly, go Army, beat Navy.
Absolutely. We'll catch you maybe when we get closer to the season and get some of your insight. Steve Anderson, thank you so much, class of 2011 from West Point. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, Ken. Talk to you soon.
Very good. And it's Ken Kratzer with another edition of Sons of the American Legion Radio Army Football Catch-Up. Thank you to Steve Anderson.